This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
Today I will be taught
the Word of God.
I boldly confess.
My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
I will never be the same.
No, never be the same.
In Jesus' name.
Pastor Andre,
preach
this word.
Pastor Andre,
preach
this word.
Amen.
Amen.
Put the title of the message up on the screen for the people to see.
Simply this, and would you repeat after me?
I will not
be denied.
I will not
be denied.
It's interesting that the song about seasons, us walking into our season, was just mimed for us, and God had given me this, I will not be denied. And I like how she talked about walking into your season. But here's the thing, the problem that we don't many times understand is whilst we are walking, there is resistance. And many times we expect us to walk right into every blessing without any resistance. But we have a real God, but we also have a real enemy. We have a great Jesus, but we also have a sneaky devil. We have an awesome Jehovah, but there is an ugly Lucifer. And so every time you try to make a move toward God, there will be some resistance. There will be some obstacles. There will be some issues, some trips, some trials. And here's the thing that gets us the most. Many times, not always the stuff on the outside that gets us. It's a lot of times the stuff on the inside that gets us. But you got to make up in your mind, I will not be denied. I've come too far. I've waited too long. I've cried too hard. I've prayed too long. I've screamed too long to die like this. I will not be denied.
I can already tell y'all gonna help me preach this morning.
I got too many bills to die like this. My kids ain't saved yet. My marriage is on the rocks. I will not be denied.
What came to my mind as I was thinking about this, I was watching my own family. My wife sent me to get my little daughter a Barbie doll. So we went to get her Barbie doll, and I'm ashamed to say it, but I got to be honest. That little two-year-old girl runs that house. I don't know how it happened, but baby girl runs that house. And so me and the boys went to get her Barbie doll, and so we decided I'm going to get the boys some laser pens, little pens that have the flashlight as well as the red laser. And so they came home playing with their red lasers and enjoying it. And Bon Bon is what we call her. Her name's Alana. We call her Bon Bon. Bon Bon had her Barbie doll, but when she seen the red lasers, she said, "Bump the Barbie doll." And she went and grabbed the lasers. And we tried to let her know, these aren't yours. These are the boys. But before long, the boys were like, listen, just go ahead and take it. Because in her mind, I will not be denied. I know you didn't buy it for me, but I will not be denied. I know they may say that I'm supposed to be dead or in jail at 21, but I will not be denied. I know folk are dying in the street and people are getting fired, but I will not be denied. Even my little baby girl, sometimes she'll grab stuff that is not hers and she'll say, it's mine. And when you take it from her and say, it's not yours, she say, it's mine. No, it's not. It's mine. And even though she's wrong, some of y'all got to get like Bon Bon. It's mine. It's mine. That blessing is mine. That deliverance is mine. That peace is mine. That joy is mine. I will not be denied. Oh, you let every little thing push you off of the plan of God. You let every little thing keep you from the will of God. You got dreams that have died on your pillow. You got goals that are in the back seat of your car. You got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and say, I will not be denied. Amen. I
I've got, before, I'm just talking, before I get to preaching, I'm just talking right now. I've got a quote that I decided to put up. I think I put it on Twitter a couple of days ago. And every now and then, while I'm on my job, it's just something will come across my mind. And I like to put it out there in the world wide web so that I can kind of just send it out there to see who else it hits. So would you put this quote on the screen? The main thing you should quit is quitting. If you're going to quit anything, you need to quit quitting. If you're going to stop anything, you got to stop quitting. And here's the thing. Many times you get excited until you get challenged. You get excited until you get pushed around. In this life, you're going to get pushed around. In this life, you're going to have some haters. In this life, you're going to have some issues. But quit quitting. Quit throwing in the towel. Quit giving up. There's a lot of people here today, and I'm grateful for all the people who are here today because you were invited. This is Family and Friends Day. But a lot of you, every Sunday morning, you think about coming to church, but something stops you. Actually, on Monday, you make up in your mind, I'm going to church. But by the time Saturday night rolls around, I can't make it. Baby, you got to make up in your mind, I will not be denied. Well, Pastor, I got invited, and I ended up in the club on Saturday night. And I know you don't want me in your church like that. Listen, come however you got to come. I don't care what you did Saturday night. You got to make up in your mind, I will not be denied. But the church folk gonna look at me. The saints gonna look at me. Let me tell you, if $1 million was on this altar, you wouldn't care about a church folk. You wouldn't care about nobody looking at you. You would go get what belongs to you. And I want somebody to make up in their mind, I will not be denied. I've heard too many no's. I've had too many losses. I've struggled too long. But I make up in my mind, if God be for me, who can be against me? And what God has for me, it is for me. Yeah, you got to make up in your mind. I know some of y'all thinking, well, but Pastor, I'm not perfect. Look around and find somebody perfect. Hold on. Let's just do a quick example. Everybody that's perfect, raise your hand. So all the people that raise their hands will cast out lying demons at the end of the service, because there ain't nobody perfect in the house of God. And so you might as well come like you are. You might as well bring your issues. You might as well bring your baggage. You might as well bring everything you got. Because I serve a God that's better than tied with bleach. He can wash you up. He can pick you up. He can clean you up. He can turn you around. He can put your feet on solid ground. I will not be. Oh, yeah. Y'all gonna help me this morning. I ain't going to be denied. I'm not going to be denied. All right, let's go to the Bible. Matthew chapter 15 and the 21st verse. And it's going to be on your screen. You can look at it in the Bible as well. We've got most of the scriptures from the King James Version, but you can look on your screen. Sister Mitchell, would you read from there?
Then Jesus went thence and departed into coasts of Tyre and Sidon.
Jesus left where he was and he was on the move. He was on the go. God was always on the go. And let me let you know, God is still on the move. God is still on the move. Sometimes because you watch so much CNN and MSNBC and Fox News, you don't think God is on the move. But God is still on the move. And I know a lot of people say, well, God is coming back. And that's why times are so rough. That's true. But before he comes back, there's going to be a revival in the land. A lot of people are preaching gloom and doom. And I'm not saying I'm against that. But let me tell you something. It's going to be the best of times for the people of God and the worst of times for the people of the world. So you got to make up in your mind which side you want to be on, because God is still on the move. Well, what do you mean by that? He's still healing. He's still delivering. He's still breaking addictions. He's still changing people's minds. You make up in your mind, I ain't going to be denied. All right. Let's go to the next verse, 15:22.
And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil.
And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him and said, Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. I'm tired of these Christians that don't know how to cry out to God. That don't know how to be truthful. Because let me be honest, I've been saved and addicted at the same time. I've had issues in my life that wasn't so holy. And guess what I had to do? I couldn't find Oprah, couldn't find Dr. Phil, couldn't find Obama, but I cried to the living God. And you thought you had to have it all together, all your I's dotted and all your T's crossed before God would hear you, because somebody told you God don't hear a sinner's prayer. Well, if he doesn't hear a sinner's prayer, can't nobody be saved, because we all was a sinner sometime. And so you got to make up in your mind, when you need mercy, you got to get you some mercy. Call for mercy. Call for a hookup. Some of y'all might not understand. Let me go back to my teenage years. In my teenage years, there was a certain girl that worked at McDonald's that kind of liked me, even though I didn't like her. But when I went to McDonald's, she would always give me a hookup. And even though I wasn't so crazy about her, I knew she'd hook me up. If I ordered a Big Mac, I'd get 2 Big Macs. If I ordered 1 fry, I might get 3. Because she knew how to hook me up. Well, if she could hook me up, I know there is a God that can hook me up. If I cry for him to deliver me, he can hook me up. If I ask him to heal me, he can hook me up. If I ask him to change me, he can hook me up. Have mercy on me. Oh, God. Sometimes you don't want to cry in the church because you don't want everybody to know you're still struggling with some stuff. So when they tell you to go to the altar, you look around. You don't want everybody to know. But let me tell you something. In your car, you can cry to God. In your shower, you can cry to God. On your job, you can cry to God. In the mall, you can cry to God. Wherever you're at, you can cry to God. I will not be denied. All right. One time I was on my job. I drive a truck, and I drive into trains. We load the parts into trains, and I pulled up into the train. I was kind of bothered by something, and all of a sudden I felt something in me, and before I knew it, I had screamed in the train. Some people rolled by and said, Are you okay? I'm like, I'm okay. I didn't know I had screamed, but down on the inside, you can't stop my holler. You can't stop my cry. When I need God, I'll cry to God. You may call 911, but I call Psalms 91. God be over me like a shadow. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. And here's the reason why. Because my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Sometimes the truth of the matter, you're not crying for yourself. Sometimes you're crying for somebody else. If you are a mother, you understand this. Sometimes you break for your babies. Sometimes your babies that you're crying for got the nerve to be getting smart with you, but you still cry for them. You still pray for them. Sometimes you're crying for the man you lay your head down with at night, or the woman you lay your head down at night. Sometimes you cry for somebody else. Have you ever broke and it wasn't your own problem? Have you ever been stressed out and it wasn't your own issue? But you got to know who to go to. I go to the rock. So let's get the rock of my salvation. Let's continue to read verse 23.
But he answered her not a word.
Hold on. Read that again.
But he answered her not a word.
Now she was talking to Jesus. Say that again.
But he answered her not a word.
Let's be real, church folk. You ever talk to God and he ain't said nothing? Mm-hmm. You ever cried and it don't look like he's talking back? The woman, the Bible says that he answered her not a word, not even an inkling. Somebody said just one word from God can change your situation. But what about when God ain't talking? He's always talking, but we can't always hear him. I'm trying. I'm fasting. I'm praying. I'm coming to church. I'm giving, but I'm still stuck in this thing. All right, read some more.
And his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us."
Not only is God not talking, but his children are pushing you away. Not only can I not hear God, but I can't stand the folk in the pews. I know that ain't none of y'all. But sometimes it's not just God, it's his children too. Because when I let them know I got an issue, they don't receive me, but they talk about me. You ever ask somebody to pray with you, and the next thing you know, their post on Facebook look a whole lot like what you talked about? I love God, but his people, his children. So I can't get an answer from God, and sometimes his children. Now, sometimes his children aren't that bold and bad. Sometimes they're a little different. Sometimes they're more like, let me give you an example. They're more like, if you believe God the way I believe God, you'd get delivered like I got delivered. Maybe everybody don't get delivered the same way. Just because you didn't need 12 steps, maybe I need 12 steps. Don't crush me while I'm trying. I know not everybody in the house of God is saved, but let me talk to these saved people. Stop crushing people while they're trying. I seen you at the liquor store. She already knows she went to the liquor store. She don't need you pointing it out. Why don't you draw her to God? You know you're shacking up. She knows she's shacking up. Sometimes the church folk keep God from doing what he need to do. The Bible says, they said, send her away. Church folk, they don't want to be bothered with nobody but folk that look like them. You better not have a tattoo and come to God. You better not have no dreadlocks and come to God. If your skirt don't sweep the bottom of the floor, you better not show up at my church. The devil is a lie. Give me everybody that wants God. I will not be denied. When will the church understand we are the hospital? I've never worked in the emergency room, but I don't think in the emergency room, when you come with a bullet hole, they ask you how long is your dress? Are you wearing makeup? Are you married to the one? No, they deal with the issue first. We got to catch them before we clean them. We got to get them before we straighten them up. And guess what? I just lied to you because we can't clean them and we can't straighten them up. There's only one that can clean them and there's only one that can straighten them up, and it's Jesus. But let's look at what she did. Let's look at verse 24.
But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel."
Wait a second. He finally talked. But when he did talk, he said, "It's not your time." I'm going to take a side note. This is Jesus. There's something to understand that Jesus understood his assignment. A lot of us Christians, the reason why we mess up, because we don't really know our assignment. We don't know who we're sent to. I'm going to go save the whole world. Well, why don't you start in your house? Don't try to save the world and you ain't started at home. Does your neighbor know you saved? Does the people on your job know you saved? Don't go to Africa and save them if folk around you don't know you saved. Look at your neighbor and say, "That's just a side note." But he answered and said, "I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is a theological understanding. I'll take a little time with it. Jesus came for the whole world, but he ministered to the Jew first. He was called to the Jew first. He was trying to get them to accept him because he is their king. So he came to them first. This lady wasn't a Jew. She was a Gentile. There was coming a time for the Gentiles. A man named Paul was going to change the Gentiles. It wasn't her time. Ariana said, we got to walk into our season. But what happens when it's not your season? What happens when everybody getting married but you? And truth of the matter, folk uglier than you is getting men. Folk uglier than you are getting women. People that don't have a job are getting mad. And you're wondering, when is it my turn? I thought I'm doing, but what if it's not your turn yet? What if it's not your time yet? What if God hasn't opened up the season yet? You still got to make up in your mind, I will not be denied. Because even if it's not my season, he's still God. Even if it's not my turn, he's still God. I can praise him because he's still God. He may not have brought me out yet, but he can still do it. I remember the three Hebrew boys. They said, King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful how we answer you because we know that our God, even if he doesn't do it, we know he's able. I praise him not always for what he's doing. I praise him for what he's able to do. Because at any given moment, he can still turn it around. All right, so he said basically, I'm not really sent to you right now. Verse 25.
Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me.
Wait a second. In the account in Mark, the Bible says he ignored her. But she came and worshiped. God said no, but she said, I still love you, God. I got prayed at the altar. I told the pastor I was diagnosed with cancer. I went back to the doctor, and the doctor said the cancer spread. I don't give up on God. I say, you're still able, God. I prayed for my son to turn around, and he was in the paper the next week, and he's locked up, but I still worship you, God, because I will not be denied. See, worship is not about how you feel. Worship is about the value of your God. Even when you feel bad, he's still a good God. So you worship him because he's still God. He's still has the sun hanging in the sky. He still has the stars hanging in the sky. The clouds never fell on your head. So he still deserves the praise and the glory. So she worshiped him and then said, help me. Verse 26.
But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.
Now, hold on, Jesus. Now, wait a second. Wait a second, Jesus. Now, first you didn't talk to me. Now you ignore me. Now you're going to insult me and say, it is not me. It's not suitable to take the children's bread. In other words, take what belongs to the Israelites and cast it to the dogs. Wait, did you just call me a dog, Jesus? Now, this is Jesus, but some of us quit churches because somebody stepped on your high heels. I ain't going back to them churches. Do they know how much these Jordans are? They stepping all on my Jordans. They parked in my spot. They sat in my seat. Are you going to let all those things keep you from God? When you show up at the heavenly gates, are you going to tell God, they didn't talk to me right? They didn't treat me right. And that's why I left and went back to my addiction. Listen, you got to make up in your mind. I'm going to get it whatever way I can, however I can. I don't care who offends me. I don't care who makes me mad. I'm not serving them. I'm looking for you. The pastor may offend you, but the pastor got no heaven or hell to put you in. The first lady may offend you, but she can't put you in heaven or hell. You got to go after God and say, I will not be denied. So we got to look and see what this woman said after the Bible says that he called her a dog. Would you read that 26th verse one more time?
But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs.
Whew, that's rough. Verse 27.
And she said, truth, Lord.
Ooh, I love this. She said, bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. I still got some dog in me. I still got some problems in me. There's some bow, wow, and some bark, bark in me. God, you told the truth. Here's the thing. When people tell the truth on you, don't get mad. Go ahead and agree. Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I'm addicted. Yeah, I know I got a lot of new people here, but I just got to be real. Yeah, I'm a freak, and the freaks come out at night. Yeah, that's me, God. I'm sorry. That's the truth. Yeah, I've been getting high all my life. Yeah, I'll cuss you out in the drop of the dime, but right now, I need you more than I've ever needed you. She didn't try to fake the funk. She didn't try to put the church face on. She said, you are right. Truth, Lord. Just shout it. Somebody say, truth, Lord.
Truth, Lord.
Truth, Lord. Read the whole verse, please.
And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table.
Ooh, I love this. She said, listen, even the dogs can get the crumbs. Would you put this up on the screen? I like this, basically what she said. Give me something. I may not get the whole cake, but God, give me something. I may not have it like Pastor has it, but give me something. I may not have it like T.D. Jakes has it, but God, give me something. Don't leave me out. Don't leave me by myself. Give me something, because I will not be denied. And here's what the woman understood. The same thing that's in the cake is in the crumb. If there's egg, vanilla, sugar, and milk in the cake, there's egg, vanilla, sugar, and milk in the crumb. I ain't got to have the whole cake. Give me something. Hey. God, give me something, God. Give me something. Look at your neighbor and say, give me something. Give me something. God, give me something. I ain't got to have a PhD, but God, give me something. I don't need a house on the hill, but God, give me something. Give me something. Oh. Because I will not be denied. I'm not going out like this. I'm not going to quit like this. I'm not going to die like this. Give me something. Yes. And because what I understand, the little becomes much if it comes from God. The government may not be able to do it. My mama and daddy may not be able to do it. But if Jehovah does it, it's something. I like to say it like this. If you take a tennis racket and put it in my hands, it's just a tennis racket. Take the same tennis racket and put it in Serena Williams' hands, it's a $1 million making tennis racket. It's the same racket. It just depends on whose hand is on it. Well, God, if your hand was on the crumb, give it to me, God. Give me the crumb. Whatever it is, whatever you have for me, give it to me, God. And I also know, I don't know if the woman knew, but this is what I do know. He took a 2-piece fish dinner and he fed 5,000. So give me the crumb. You can multiply the crumb. You can make it everything I need it to be. Just give me a look. That's why I understand the old saints would say, God, just let some drops fall on me. Just give me a little drop. Because if you give me a drop, you can expand it. You can increase it. You can multiply it. You can overflow it. You can cause it to be abundant. Give me something. Cause I will not be. I'm not taking no for an answer. My child is not saved. I'm not taking no for an answer. They sending my baby to prison. I'm not taking no for an answer. My baby's pregnant. I'm not taking no for an answer. I don't have a job, but I'm not taking no for an answer. My back hurts, but I'm not taking no for an answer. I will not be denied. Why is it that God lets us, when grace has made everything available, why does God let us exert some energy and some effort? Well, here's the reason why. Because the Bible says that they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb. See, that's everything grace made available for you. But by the word of your testimony. I hate to tell you, but today's people don't want to hear from somebody that's never been through nothing. They don't want to hear from somebody that's never walked through some fires. I want you to get something in your mind and have a testimony. And I want you, in our own church, I kind of cut out testimony service. Why would you do that, Pastor? Because testimony service ain't for the church. Some of y'all waiting for a chance to preach behind the pulpit. Go to the streets and tell somebody your testimony. Tell them how good God has been. Tell them how God turned you around. Tell them how God brought you out. Tell them how God delivered you. Somebody ought to hold the McDonald's line up. Because when you get up there to give them your money, you hold on to their money and you tell them your testimony. I'm giving you this money, but God can bring you out of whatever you're in. Give me something. Give me something. Give me something, God. Whether it's a crumb, whether it's a drop, whether it's a nugget, whether it's a piece of salt, give me something. Because I've went after everything the world has. And it left me empty. I'm talking about me. I tried alcohol. It left me empty. I tried getting high. It left me empty. I was hooked on pornography. It left me empty. But when I got a crumb from the master, I am who I am because I got a crumb. Who needs a crumb? Who needs a crumb? Who needs a crown? Oh, let's continue to read. Let's look at verse 28.
Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith.
Great. There's not too many times in scripture where Jesus told somebody their faith was great. And every time he said it, he didn't say it to the Jews. It wasn't to the church people.
Yes.
It was to the folk on the outside that had great faith.
Yes.
I got to talk to some more church folk. You're going to get passed up. Folk going to jump over you in this last day and age. People going to take your seat because they're going to have great faith. Read some more.
O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole. From that very hour.
I'm going to put it up in the English Standard Version just to make it super, super clear.
Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.
As you desire. Every desire you have is not of the devil. Everything that's rolling around in your spirit that's keeping you up at night is not from the devil. Some of those desires are straight from God. Yes. And God said, with your faith, you can have it just like you desire. All right. Have you ever walked in your house and just knew it ain't big enough? Have you ever driven your car and know this ain't the last one I'm going to drive? Have you ever been eating bologna thinking about steak? Just because you see it right now doesn't mean that's where you're going to end up. me give you a quick example. I've always liked Cadillacs ever since I was little. I know the cliche passes with Cadillac, but I'm going to flow with the key cliches because I love me a Cadillac car. And so I didn't have a Cadillac. I had a Jeep. But I took a picture of the Cadillac I wanted. It was red, cherry red. They called it cherry fire red. So I wrote it down. I wanted cherry fire red. I want cashmere cocoa leather. That was the peanut butter looking leather. I want the dash to pop up out. I want the screen to pop up out of the dash because I seen it somewhere. I researched it. I saw it. So I put a picture on my phone. And while I was driving my raggedy Jeep, every now and then I would look down at the picture on my phone and I would imagine that I was in the Cadillac. Even though I was driving a Jeep, I imagined I was in the Cadillac. When I saw a Cadillac pass me by, I would look at it and say, I would look good in a car like that. Because it was a desire that I had, but I took my desire and started putting some faith behind my desire. I don't know what you're believing for, but if you leave here and you walk right around there, there is a cherry fire red Cadillac with cashmere cocoa leather where the screen pops up out of the dash because I believed it and God made it happen. But God can do more than Cadillacs. God can do more than $1,000. God can change your family. God can rearrange your mind. But can you believe? Can you believe? Read this one more time and we're going to close.
Then Jesus answered her, "Oh woman, great is your faith."
Great is your faith. It's time for us as people to get back great faith. We've got all these things available to us. We've got all the technology. We can research anything, but we're the laziest generation that don't want to go after anything. How is it that our ancestors in the Depression could go through the Depression and keep their heads head high, and now you've got everything you need, but every little problem will throw you out? You'll give up. I ain't going to make it. I failed this semester. That's not the last semester. Amen. I got divorced. There's more fish in the sea. Amen. Well, they kicked me out of that church. There's another church you can go to. Yes. I will not be denied. Because if I can get a crumb, I can get a cake. Yes. If I can get a crumb, I can get a loaf. If I can get a crumb, I can get the whole thing. And here's the thing that I'm going to close with. I'm going to close with saying this. At that time, Jesus had not went to the cross. So the only thing he could offer them was a crumb. Oh, but he went to the cross on a Friday. They call it Good Friday. It was good for us, but it was bad for him. They whipped him. They beat him. They plucked out his beard, put a crown of thorns on his head. But he hung on the cross. While he was hanging there, he took time out from dying to save a man on the other side of him. But then the Bible says he gave up the ghost. He said, "Father, in your hands I commit my spirit." Then he said these three words, "It is finished." He didn't say, if you are the right pedigree, if you have the right degree, if you have the right parents. No, he said, "It is finished." Oh, but it was finished on the upside of the ground, but it wasn't finished on the downside of the ground. So he went down in a place called hell. They might have been whipping and nay-naying in hell, but he came through 42 generations, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And he told the devil, "Give me those keys, the keys of death and hell, the keys of death and hell." Let me explain this real quick. Keys are made to do two things: open doors and locked doors. Open doors and locked doors.
Well, here's the thing. When he said, "It is finished," he opened up blessings and he locked me out of hell. He opened up blessings and he locked me out of sickness. He opened up grace and he locked me out of poverty. So guess what? I will not be denied. I will not be denied. I will not die like this. I will not fall. I'm all right. I'm not. I ain't going out like this. I ain't dying like this. My family will be saved. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But, okay. I know y'all ready for the block party, so let me close like this. All he could offer was crumbs then. But I left him in hell with the keys. But early one Sunday morning, he got up out of the ground with all power in his hand. And guess what? He got cakes for days. He got cakes for days. If you need a cake that handles cancer, he got a cancer cake. If you need a cake that got sugar diabetes, he got a sugar diabetes cake. He got everything. He has everything you need. So since he has cake for days, since the table is spread, he said, "I prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies." But the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So he ain't talking about people. He talking about the devil. Got to watch you eat your cakes. But guess what? You got to tell the devil, "I will not be denied." Amen. Everybody standing. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed just for this moment. Thank you for helping me preach and hollering and yelling. But the biggest cake that he ever baked was the one called salvation. Because in that cake is every slice you'll ever need. And there's somebody here under the sound of my voice that feels like I'm not worthy. And guess what? You're absolutely correct. Jesus called the woman a dog, but even the unworthy can eat of this cake. Not crumbs any longer. The whole cake belongs to you. Jesus died for not just the pastor, not just for Apostle Mitchell, elect lady, and Lady Devon, but he died for all of us. He even died for ISIS. If ISIS would look to him, ISIS would turn around. To the one who aborted babies, he died for you. To the homosexual, he died for you. To the methamphetamine addict and the crack addict, he died for you too. And the cake belongs to you. But the only thing he asks is that you receive. We're getting ready to have natural food. And if you don't want any natural food, you can walk right by it. You don't have to take it. But this spiritual cake called salvation, don't you walk by it. It's free. But Pastor, I still smoke weed. Don't worry about it. Eat the cake. There's cure for weed in the cake. But Pastor, I still like sex. Eat the cake. Don't let the church tell you you got to be perfect before you come, because perfection is in the cake. And we're all still eating the cake. And it's good. And every time I taste the cake, I say, "The Lord is my shepherd. Shall not want." because everything I need is in the cake. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm asking you to do one thing and to walk down this aisle and stand. We will pray for you and we will offer you this cake absolutely free in Jesus' name. So if that's you and you're here, would you make your move to the altar right now? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid.